Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here. We thank God that we're here. Just another session of Blog Talk Radio, Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And we apologize. We had there were some technical issues, but we are here by the grace of God. So we thank God that we're here, and we thank God for all of our Twitter listeners and followers, all of our Blog Talk listeners and followers, all of our Facebook friends, listeners and followers, and also all of our LinkedIn connection listeners and followers. It's good to be here, so we're grateful for that. So it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we thank God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So it's good to be here on Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And January is almost gone. So here we are. I believe this is the fourth Wednesday of the month already, with the first Wednesday of the month being New Year's Day. So we're just grateful to be here. So we have been continuing on our theme, the Godhead, and also we have been in the book of Mark, I believe, since back in beginning of December, if not the latter part of November. We have been teaching out of the book of Mark. So we are continuing on in the book of Mark on today. And on today, we're going to talk about some of the end time signs. So we want to start off in the 13th chapter, the end time signs, and also these are what we call synoptic gospels. So it'll correlate also with Luke's gospel in Matthew's gospel and also Luke's gospel as far as the end time signs are concerned. So we know we've been talking about miracles, and we're definitely always talking about the deity of Jesus Christ, which too many times, too many don't know who Jesus is, that he is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. Like we said, our theme, we're talking about the Godhead, and we also, on last time, we made mention about the three places in the Holy Writ or the Holy Bible where the word Godhead is mentioned. Romans 1 and 20, his eternal power and Godhead. In Acts, the 17th chapter, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver. And then also in Colossians 1 and 20, I believe it is. Let's see, we'll get that in the book of Colossians. That is the other place where the 2, 8, and 9, yeah, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through vain deceit after philosophy, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So we definitely want to key in on the deity of Jesus, knowing that he is God incarnate. So there is no God beside the one, the true and the living God. As Jeremiah said, the Lord is the true God. In the beginning, God, like we always say, it was revealed unto Moses. He made known his ways unto Moses, which means revelation, and his acts to the children of men. So to make known is to reveal, because no one was back there in the beginning but God himself. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony, and the only witness that was on the stand was God himself. So we just want to like inject that as we move on into the lesson. So we know that we are living in the last days. If you don't know, that's what we want you to know. I want you to know that we're living in the last days. And so there's going to be some things that are going to happen in the last days, what we want to make people aware of. And so this is why we are feel led to move on and deal with some of the signs in the last days. So we know that there's so much greed going on in the world, the violence that is going on in the world, and all kinds of things. People are proud. And these things that are going on in the world, so we kind of give you a little, lay a little foundation here before we get off into our lesson in the Gospels. And so Paul writes his letter to his son in the Gospel by the name of Timothy. And so he says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." He goes on to say, "For of such turn away." So in other words, get away from them. So we know that we can see things that are going on where people don't have any regard for the poor. So we can see what's going on even in our Congress in the United States of America. They don't want to extend a helping hand to, as it were, the poor, the unemployed. And the money that they paid into what is called unemployment insurance, which money just going to help people until they can do better because we are in a bad economy. So they don't want to do that. So that is just nothing but greed. But we can find money to fund a war. Somebody threatens us or whatever. We're ready to take care of that, but we don't want to feed, as it were, the poor. So that's for the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10 is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, the writer goes on to say, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He goes on to say, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we know, because iniquity shall abound, and iniquity, that term, which is what happened to the created being, the angel called Lucifer. God didn't make Satan or the devil, but Lucifer made himself the serpent and the devil when he rebelled against God. And Ezekiel says, when iniquity was found in thee, this is when God threw him out. That's why Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And the reason why Jesus could make that statement is because he threw Satan out. Lucifer made himself Satan, the dragon, the devil, the old serpent. He made himself that, and he got threw out. So this nasty spirit, iniquity, which meant the term means, and to make it short and right to the point, I meant to do it. So because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So this is why today we want to get into the end time signs, which are the days of Noah, which it made reference to, and also the days of Lot are end time signs. And believe it or not, that's why God is going to, the wages of sin is death. So they don't want to pay, or just like this, there's a fight for minimum wage, or a fight for a livable wage. So the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, they don't care, and so they're going to get their pay. The wages, everybody's going to pay. God don't play. He's going to pay fair. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to pay. The rich are getting richer. And the question is, to me, when I look at these kinds of things, these so-called Speaker of the House and the Congress, the Senate, the Republican House and all this, these people don't want to extend unemployment benefits. People are going to take the money and buy food, pay rent. They're going to put the money right back into the economy. But God is not playing. When you read in the book of the Revelation, he's going to repay these people, and they're going to say to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, for the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? When God overthrows these ports, all these different things, money is what they want. They don't care at all costs. They are greedy. They have made money their God. Like he said, you can't serve two masters. You hate one, cleave to the other. You hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. That pride that goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall was none other than the way that Lucifer fell himself. Pride, it goes before destruction, just like a train. And one car goes before another, and a haughty spirit, then there's the fall. You're on your way down. So these people are greedy and don't care, and that pride, people want what they want. So we know what happened. People have never stopped lying, never stopped committing adultery, never stopped fornicating, and some things are just totally illegal. And God, everything is in the same category. All unrighteousness is sin. I mean, right is right, wrong is wrong, and the trouble with the world is just like it was even in the days of Jesus, and that is unbelief. And so some people have nerve to say they don't understand the Bible. God never mentioned anything about, as we say, homosexuality. It's in the book of Romans. It's in the Gospels, because the whole thing is what he's talking about when to make mention about that is the unbelief, because they destroyed that place because they couldn't find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's wife looked back. That's why she became a pillar of salt. She is the sign of unbelief. So just those words, when Jesus makes mention in the gospel, remember Lot's wife. So she is a horrible example of unbelief. So today we want to start off in the 13th chapter of the book of Mark. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? This is a question. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you. And that is a question, that is a thing that a lot of people don't like to deal with. So it behooves us, like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he exhorted and testified with many other words when he preached that first message in the second chapter of Acts, and he made a statement. He said, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. So people take issue with that. So somebody's going to be deceived by a man or by a woman or by a group of people. So nobody died for you. Your leader didn't die for you. Like I always say, I have great respect for leadership. I'm in authority. I'm under authority, in authority. The only way you can be in authority, you have to be under authority. So I definitely believe in that. But you got to watch out, because people are using words and many teachings and doctrines to draw away disciples after them, or to say things that are not totally true in the Bible, and you got one soul, and you got to save yourself. And sometimes people, and some of the same people that have questions about, they try to trap other people in words that they would say. There, I was under the same ministry for the first almost 20 years of my saved life or my church life. I was under the same ministry from 76 to 96, just was within a matter of months before I went to another ministry of same like faith. So that I sat down. I wasn't just running here and running there. So you got to save yourself. So people are just so caught up in things, and people are making themselves so important, and like God just has to have them, which he doesn't have to have none of us. He can raise up somebody else. So he doesn't have to have us, because we're not that important. He is the one that bled and died, gave his life for the church. He was the one that came to give his life a ransom for many, to be the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. So we're not that important. So people make themselves important and make statements like, the way to be blessed is you have to bless me. No, you don't. The way to be blessed in God is the grace of God anyway. The way to be blessed in God is to pay your tithe, which is the tenth, and pay a free will offering. You don't have to give a gift to your leader to be blessed. After all, the captain of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle of our profession is the Lord Jesus Christ. The great high priest of our profession is the Lord Jesus Christ. The author and the finisher of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we owe everything to. So he goes on here, take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. So in other words, the end is not yet, some of the other writers say. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places. Don't we know that's happening? So divers means many places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of. So some of these things, literally things that happened during the days of the apostles. Because remember, he was addressing them here. So he says, take heed to yourselves, they shall deliver you up to the councils. So this is literally them. And in the synagogues, you shall be beaten, you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And he goes on, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, the father to the son, the children shall rise up against their parents, shall cause them to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. These things literally happen. So he goes on here, let him that is on the housetop not go down into his house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. Let him that is in the field not turn back again, for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, and pray that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation of God, which God created, unto this time neither shall be. And except those days have been shortened, there should no flesh be saved. He's talking about literally those days, when these things shall happen, even to them. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have forewarned you all things. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be dark and the moon shall give her light, not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall. The powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now, this is a different, this goes actually off into a different dispensation. So we just want to bring out some of the signs that are going to happen in the last days, which chiefly the ones that false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. We got people coming up speaking all kinds of things. One of the biggest lies that you ever have heard is this sowing a seed lie, which that doesn't even make common sense, because you can't buy a blessing. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and devil himself hates for me to say something against it, but I don't care. That is one of the dirtiest lies out of hell. That don't even make common sense. You can't buy a blessing. If that be the case, then you could bribe God. No, we always, the seed, when you read in many times in the scriptures, the seed is the word of God. This is what Apostle Paul said, one planteth, another watereth, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. So the increase and the harvest is souls, not somebody, you know, trying to buy a blessing. That makes no sense. That lie is going to go on. And so you got to be wise enough not to be fooled in that kind of foolishness. And so there was a lie told one time at a particular church by a so-called prophet. I was there. And that lie was told was, you're going to, if you pay $60, everybody that sows a seed of $60 or give $60 or whatever way you want to put it, because now they're talking about sowing seed, that your bills would be paid for three years. Your bills will be paid if you pay them. So that was a lie, and I come against that lie. That was a lie from the pit of hell by that so-called prophet. That was a lie, and I'm not going to back off of that. So anyway, so we go on here. We're talking about end time signs. So that is a thing, too. These so-called prophets. You didn't hear about all this stuff back in the 70s and 80s and even in the 90s. And stuff started coming about. All of a sudden, all these people are coming on the scene calling themselves prophets. And understand, the ministry was set in the church for the perfecting of the saints. Ephesians 4 and 11, the Bible said that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, which is, that's not a fivefold ministry, that is fourfold, because there is not a comma in between pastors and teachers. The pastor is the teacher in the local assembly. Now, the job of the apostles is, they were eyewitnesses. They had to be taught by the Lord, too. That's another thing. They were eyewitnesses. They were taught by Jesus himself. They laid the foundations. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. But you had to be chosen to be an apostle. And so people are bent all out of, some people don't know any better. You got to know what the Bible said. There are no apostles nowadays. And in the 12 foundations in the New Jerusalem, the foundations are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, there were apostles other than the 12 during the days of the apostles, but there are 12 apostles of the Lamb. Apostle Paul said he was seen last of him, and he did go out in the Arabian desert. He was taught by the Lord. His seal of his apostleship, just like he said that he was an apostle to the Gentiles, and when he wrote, he said, the seal of my apostleship is you in the Lord. So I'm not worried about, like, people worrying about somebody telling you about your life. Preach the gospel. That is what the ministry does, and the Lord knows about you. I don't have to have a word. I don't want to know everything is going to happen to me. I don't want to know about my future. I know what my future is going to be in the world to come. Most people, they don't want to know everything about their what's going to happen to them now. I don't need nobody to tell me about me and all that. God knows about me. This is what we have to realize, that God, he knows everything. He is omniscient, means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere and every place. He's omnipotent, which means he has all power. So that is the one that you want to make sure, like somebody says, are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? And the question goes on to, have you been baptized into the body and forever there abide? So we know, you know what the scripture says? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. This is in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The Apostle Paul is talking to people that already have the born again experience. That is on the day of Pentecost. Peter had the keys. Jesus had already given to them. He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So you had to be water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the name of Jesus Christ. The important thing is the name of Jesus is called over you in water baptism. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and that is you will speak in another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives you to utter. Don't worry. The Spirit is the Spirit of God. This is what Joel was talking about. Shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That means Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, doesn't matter. He's pouring his Spirit out upon all flesh. So he's still pouring out of his Spirit. And so God pouring out of his Spirit, and recipients of that have the born-again experience. So this is why John said, when Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you got to be born again to be able to understand it, to perceive it. Oh, I see. Yeah, you can't see it unless you're born again. It's the natural man, he don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So you have to be born of water. That is, the name of Jesus is called upon you, the name of Jesus Christ, or the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's water and of the Spirit. You're baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives you to utter. That is the born again experience. So there is no new truths. The truth is in Jesus. And thank God. I'm glad I got it when I did. So that is why I'm trying to tell you the truth. So we continue in his word. Jesus said, St. John 8:32, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we're moving on here in our lesson. So we're talking about signs of the end time. Mark 13, we bought out some. So now we're flying over to Matthew 24, and we're going to show you some signs of the end time. So it's virtually the same thing. You got to look at the terminology, the way that the apostle Matthew deals with this. So, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, he's talking to his disciples privately. He told them, take heed that no man deceive you. So remember, as we were saying before, what Mark said, the same thing, that you don't be deceived. So he says, many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So this is virtually the same thing that Mark was saying. It says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. These are the beginning of sorrow. So, excuse me. So we can see here, even all these earthquakes, you almost on a consistent basis, every so many months or so, you're hearing about earthquakes. Even in places you've never heard of, earthquakes taking place, you can hear of them taking place. That is a sign of the end times. Violence, that is a sign of the end times. So promiscuity, people fornicating and adulterers. And like I said, the branch of a fornication, you're a fornicator if you have sexual intercourse with someone you are not married to. So you can be two single people, a man and a woman, neither one of them are married. They have sex one with another. They're not married. That is known as fornication. An adulterer can be one person is married, the other person is not. That is committing adultery against their husband or against their wife. The other person is a fornicator. You've got two people that are married, a man cheating on his wife or a woman cheating on her husband. Those two people are married, but not to each other. That is what you call committing adultery. That is a sin to commit adultery. And people are doing these things. Then also, the hot button issue that what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the reason why people, they want to get married, marry the same sex partner, which you could not do years ago. All of a sudden, now they're popping up with these things because they want benefits. They call that they're in love with their partner. You can't. That is against God. You cannot love because you can't procreate. God didn't just make sex in the marriage relationship for procreation, but he also made sex in the marriage relationship for pleasure. God made it for pleasure, and that is to be understood. People, it's not just for procreation, but you cannot marry the same gender. That is against God. Male cannot marry male. You can do what you want. It's the state or the government come up with these laws. You can do what you want, but as far as God is concerned, you can't marry the same gender. A man can't marry another man. A woman can't marry another man. It ain't recognized in heaven. It ain't recognized in God's book. And these jellyback preachers don't have the gall to stand up and say it, that it is so. But also it is a sign of the times. Because you would have said 30 or 40 years ago, you try to get somebody to marry you to another person of the same sex, they would have let you know it is the illegal procedure, just as illegal as it is, to marry somebody that's already married. The person would have to get divorced to be able to be loose from that relationship they're in to get into another one. They would have told you, oh, no, you can't do that. That's illegal. So it is illegal then, and it's still illegal now as far as God is concerned. And that is what you have to look at. So they're calling right wrong. They're calling wrong right. So also, we can go over into two places in the book of Luke. First place we'll go in the book of Luke, talking about end time signs, is the 17th chapter. So also, like I was saying, violence, that is one of the end time signs. And you got to go, you can go back into the Genesis before the flood. The imagination of men's heart was only evil continually. That was their thought. Their imagination was evil. That is why God destroyed the earth, because of the wickedness of man during that time. Then also See, like I said, Scripture will support Scripture, but also I want to get that Scripture to read in your hearing in before the flood. So God is concerned in, with this crooked and perverse generation. So this is why Jesus came on the scene saying all the things that he did, because he had ought against them in the things that they were doing. And so in before we get to Luke, here in Genesis 6 and 5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now here's a but. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. There it is right there. So he said, as it was in the day of Noah, the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So he goes on here, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. See, pay very close attention to repetition. Through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So that's when he gave the command to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. But the point being is what I'm trying to drive home to you. So he made mention twice there in the sixth chapter of Genesis that the earth was filled with violence. So here it is. Now we're going on to prove it out of the word of the Lord. And so we go on here in the book of the Luke here, where it is the same thing he is letting people know. So this having to deal with the last days. So he says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither say shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So he goes on, he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it. And they said, and they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. So he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about himself. For as lightning, as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And he goes on here, but first must he suffer many things to be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Remember now, we just went back in the book of Genesis and proved in the days of Noah about the wickedness of the man's imagination continually, and also the violence. And so he goes on, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed
them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot. So remember what we talked about before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot sat in the gate of the city, how wicked it was back then. And I believe also in another place that it was made mention, Genesis, and so not just God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah in the 19th chapter of Genesis, but also take note even earlier when he dealt with Abraham of some of the things that the condition of the people in Lot, where Lot was there in Egypt. I mean, I don't want to go through this whole thing, but also, so we know about how there was a strife between his herdmen and God's herd, Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham, his herdmen and Lot. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not this whole land be for thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, this is between Lot's herdmen and Abram's herdmen. And he was the nephew of the great patriarch Abraham. So his name wasn't changed to Abraham at that time. So we're going on here. I just want to prove a point. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Talk about them herdmen now. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Okay, now here's a point that is very important. This is way before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, now lift up thine eyes, look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in the Hebron, and built there an altar before the Lord. So, but the point I wanted to make was the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And that's in Genesis 13 and 13. So, remember now what we're talking about. He's making mention here about one of the end time signs was as it was in the days of Noah. And then we know what so should it also be in the days of the Son of Man. So I'm just a little being redundant here just for a clarity point. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Okay, here is where I'm coming back, the key back into. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So the question is, why did God rain fire and brimstone out of heaven and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Go back there and read it in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. And the 18th chapter is when Abraham drew near. That means he interceded.
said, if I can find 50 righteous, I won't destroy the cities. On down to 10. If I can find 10 righteous, I won't destroy it for 10's sake. And so what was going on? Sodomy was going on. And there was a wicked, they were wicked and sinners before the Lord. So it's a horrible sin if you mention something about homosexuality, but the Bible said that they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly back there at that time. So a lie, it's all in the same category. If you're a liar, if you're an adulterer, if you're a murderer, if you're a thief, if you're an adulterer, you're a fornicator, it is all in the same category. God is no respecter of persons. So it's, you know, you can't protect one group. You're spending one point, you're guilty of all. So you're not going to get away. You're a big liar, but you're going to look down on somebody else that is an adulterer or somebody else that's a fornicator or somebody else that's a murderer or someone else that's a thief or someone else that's an extortioner. People doing all these, someone else that's taking bribes. People are doing all these things and lying to so-called, as we say, to cover themselves. One lie leads to another. That's one thing about a liar. You keep lying, the heat is turned up on you. You tell another lie to cover up another lie. Then you get cross-examined. Which lie did you tell? That happens all the time in court. People will lie in their counterclaim, their answer and counterclaim is in the court system. And then in the end, they end up doing something that contradicted themselves totally in the whole first place that they told a lie and they got uncovered. So they was to go back and look at what people said in their answer and their counterclaim and they end up being something else, then they could actually realize and charge them with perjury, that they perjured themselves because they told a lie. They forgot they told that lie. They put it in writing, a lie that they told, and then they ended up declaring or promising or whatever word you solemnly swear, as they use the term. They have other terms that they use now that they don't use the term swear, but the whole point is you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is the way they used to say it, so help me God. So we can see how we're living in a dirty, wicked world where ruthless people don't care. That's going to be the worst part about being in the hellhole. And then not only that, the people say about people, the hottest places are hell, are reserved for people that remain neutral in the time of crisis. That's no scripture to support that. But in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said about the hypocrites, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? What Jesus was against more than anything, any group of people, these so-called religious people that are hypocritical. So it's going to be horrible for some of these so-called rich Republicans that wouldn't even give somebody a piece of bread, as it were, we could say. You don't even want them to get a biscuit, to get a bottle of water, because now they're selling water. Back years ago, the baby boomers, us who were born in the 50s, I was born in the 50s, people were born in the 60s or whatever, we never thought we would have saw this kind of crazy stuff going on where they were selling bottled water. But that's going to be a horrible thing for them in the lake of fire, that they were so greedy. It's like that rich man in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. He didn't even want to give poor Lazarus, the beggar, crumbs that fell from the table. I mean, even the dogs had mercy on Lazarus and licked his sores. That's what people want. They don't want people to be able to get a piece of bread, which is horrible. So we just thank God for the word that we were able to bring on today, and we wanted to make up a little
time because we actually went on the air probably 5 or 7 minutes late, I would say. So I'm going to just try to make up that little time as we move on here. So we can, because we are talking about the days of Lot here. And so we can look at some of the Renaissance, what is going on, knowing that people that are going on today, and people don't have no need. They think they're blind, actually, spiritually, as the Lord himself said in the book of the Revelation. So we want to just kind of go on here a few more minutes with our episode, knowing that our time is pretty much gone here as we go on here. But anyway, we're going to have to go ahead and end our episode. We just thank God for the we're going to move on here a little bit as we go on here. So that is not going to be good to just be greedy. So we can see so much building and so much going on, and there are other things that people are doing in this wicked and perverse generation. So we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope
this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.